Hi, welcome to Two Towns Over. This show is made possible by our patrons. If you want to monetarily support the show, we're at patreon.com/twotownsover. If you can't support us financially, then you can support us algorithmically by liking, rating, and sharing. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
Started. Who's ready to summon some demons?
Not me, because I can't remember my password.
Oh shit! You didn't make. Is it like Ghost Stroke? Maybe.
Ah, I did it.
Okay.
It's just outdated.
Gotcha.
That's how long ago it's been since I've used my.
Mine actually still saved my password.
Oh no, dude! I meant to the laptop.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. That's.
But what if you don't?
All right.
But what if I do?
So welcome. Today we are going to discuss summoning demons and what to do. So if you hear any of us start talking backwards.
Don't even worry about it.
Don't even worry
it's
about
an
it.
Editing trick.
Yep. I might just do this whole thing backwards.
Don't do that.
So I'm going to get started. All right. So the first section
Hold
is.
Hold up, dog. Damn.
You can go ahead and still get started.
No. This is a classroom learning experience, Donathan. I don't even have my mic up.
As set as I'm going
to
be.
All right. So the first section is preparation. Now, we've looked how to protect yourself from demons. But what if you actually want to provoke or summon them so you can attempt to communicate with them or observe demonic phenomena during a paranormal investigation? This module will help you gain the confidence to safely and sensibly invoke demons.
Have sex with ghosts.
Yes, that too. Now, traditionally, demons were summoned in order to form pacts for personal gain or wealth, get a question answered, or curse someone with pain or suffering. Black magic practitioners and witches would use a grimoire, which is a textbook specifically for magic. These books usually included instructions on how to do things like create talismans and amulets, how to perform magical spells, charms, and divination, and of course, how to invoke supernatural entities, including demons. Now, although there are some more modern grimoires, most date back to at least the 16th century, some as early as the 5th century BC.
Do they? Do they?
I mean, yeah. They're like not sure. Real, but...
Outside of ancient myth, there's no evidence that any such practice worked. However, modern ghost hunters have often reported successful attempts to summon demons as part of paranormal investigations.
Of course they have. It's easy to lie on the internet.
Now
we're going to do it at the end of this. Come on now.
Now, you don't need any specific skills, psychic powers, or experience in order to summon a demon. But the act should be performed responsibly due to a demon's tendency to attach itself to or follow those who summon it.
Emphasis on the act.
You should always do your best to ensure that the demon returns to its own realm after the session. There'll be more on that later in this module. To increase your chances of summoning a demon, it is important to set the mood.
Maybe light some candles.
I read the next line.
It's best to hold your ritual in low light or by candlelight, not in complete darkness. You could also try to burn some incense, but avoid burning sage as it's believed to drive evil energy away.
I do really need some incense.
You need to go to the Pecan Park Mall.
I know, but I don't want to go alone.
Talk to Brandon. Brandon loves going.
I'll go.
Day trip?
Fuck yeah.
You, me, Brandon?
Hell yeah, dude.
Let's do it.
Let him know. He can only do it on Sundays, though.
He can only do it on Sundays?
Because he works doubles on Saturdays.
Then we will need to do...
Oh, shit.
We'll have to do an extra double record then. So that we can take a day trip. Mm. Which is fine.
I can go too, because I like going to the dirt mall.
Yeah, we all need a day off.
Everybody loves the dirt mall.
Yeah, we have to do it because I want to stay ahead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
that's what I say. Anyway.
So, okay.
I love that this makes it clear that the fucking episode we did about the ghost sex definitely did use code BOO40.
So make sure you're comfortable. Making contact with a demon can take time and patience. Now, you'll need to make sure that you're not distracted during the ritual, so put your phone on silent and shut pets and other distractions out of the room. As with any type of paranormal interaction, like seance, vigil, or attempt to communicate, you should make sure you are in the right headspace first. You should be alert, feeling positive and confident, and not under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
That's not going
to
happen.
Now, it is best to attempt to summon demons between 3 and 4 a.m. This is the witching hour.
Why?
This is the witching hour.
How? Who said?
It's been known. That's like when the veil's the thinnest.
I always thought the witching hour was either 12 or 11.
No, it's 3 a.m. But it's also known as high noon of the demonic day. Dusk till dawn around 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. is said to be the most paranormally active time of day, but 3 a.m. precisely is the single most active time of day.
High moon of the demonic day is such a good, like, horror spaghetti western.
And Ghost Strokes' 10th album.
What was the... where do you get this?
They're called Completes, but it's E-A-T-S, Eats, Completes. It's like $2. They take a minute to cook in the microwave.
Where? Are they like in...
like any grocery store? No. No, dude, that's not even frozen.
What?
Yeah, dude, that's just fuck. That's pantry food.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Walmart?
Yeah.
Of course, there are countless sightings of ghosts and demonic activity, not only in the dead of night, but also in broad daylight and lit houses. But paranormal investigators and demonologists tend to prefer to work in the dark. Now, many paranormal investigators believe that ghosts and demons are a form of psychic or electrical energy. It's claimed that in order for a demon to manifest, it needs to draw on all its energy to take on a physical or at least visible form. The belief is that in a light environment, a demon can't always have enough energy to manifest and become visible. It's being drowned out by the surrounding energy fields. Occasionally, a demon will be strong enough to overcome this barrier and manifest during the day, but generally it is thought to be more difficult. The effect is similar to the principle that a radio has better reception at night. You'll find that you're able to pick up radio stations from further away. This is because during the day, solar radiation from the sun ionizes our atmosphere. This heavy ionization in the atmosphere is known to drown out certain forms of electrical activity, such as radio and television broadcasts, and it is the same energy that is reducing demonic manifestations.
It's cosmic background, what is it? Cosmic microwave background radiation.
Right.
I love this, like, in lore reason for why nighttime is scarier.
Uh-huh. Invoking a demon might sound daunting.
We are 64% of the way done, by the way.
This shit better hit the good number, I swear to God.
Ah, fucking A, it better.
Invoking a demon might sound daunting, but it can be as complicated, ritualistic, or simple as you want it to be. It could be as easy as eliminating distractions by sitting alone in a darkened room and asking the demon to come forward. It is important to remember that demons are unpredictable by nature, so you should avoid angering or antagonizing them at all costs. Not because they might hurt you, but in order to ensure they cooperate with you. Be sure to treat the demon with honesty and respect. Always be polite, and most importantly, don't make demands or command the demon. You should only make requests.
I'll tell that demon to do whatever the fuck I wanted to do.
I'm going
to
summon a demon just to tell it to suck my dick.
Boost our fucking podcast numbers.
That's called an incubus.
No, it's
a succubus if it's a woman.
Succubus, yeah. Sorry.
You don't know. You do.
I'm reasonably certain that I do, as a matter of fact.
Invocation involves asking demons to come forward by calling out to them. This is when a paranormal investigator or medium speaks aloud in an attempt to encourage any spirits or demons that might be present to communicate with them or show themselves. The classic ghost hunter's trope is, "Hello? Is anybody there?
Is anybody out there?"
When trying to contact demonic entities, you need to be a little more specific. You should call out encouragement to any Oh, yeah? You should call out to encouragement to any demons that can hear you to come forward. If a demon has previously identified itself to you, then the best way to do this is to call it by name, as a demon's name holds power. Under normal circumstances, you should never say a demon's name aloud. Sure.
This is under normal circumstances. So.
Okay.
When you're not trying to summon a demon.
Oh, which because we are. It can be taken as an invitation by the demon. I see. Of course, in this situation, it is intended as an invitation, so repeat the name over and over. When you feel the time is right, you should start to recite words or incantations that are meaningful to you. The power isn't so much in the specific words you are saying as in the belief behind them. If you know the... Wow, that means my mantra is going to be fucking demons aren't real. If you know the demon's name, you should use it in these incantations. Fucking Zozo's not real. You could try phrases like, I invite the forces of darkness to bestow their infernal power upon me and show me you're here. Come forward, forces of darkness, and greet me. I invoke thee, and in brackets, the demon's name.
I invoke thee, Pee-wee.
I invoke thee, redacted. Come forth.
Carly.
Carly, come forth and answer to your name. Come forward, Carly, where I can see you. Wait, hold on. I summon you into visible form before me. It didn't work. Once
shocker.
Once a demon makes its presence known, you should tell it exactly why you have summoned it.
I'm taking a selfie. Leave me alone.
Okay. I thought you were taking a picture of your screen. I was like, it's nothing exciting. It's just words.
Words are incredibly exciting. This is learning. Okay.
Okay.
Josh is flirking.
I might be, bitch.
it was the very oh my god. That was good. I mean, good on you, I guess. Okay.
It's not a day in class if I'm not trying to text a girl and take a selfie during the course material.
That's so true. And it's not a day in class unless I'm like, what were we talking about? Once a demon makes its presence known, you should tell it exactly why you have summoned it. You need to get the demon on your side, and chances are you're not the first paranormal investigator on their patch.
His name is David Burnett. Seek him out.
They might already feel like a performing monkey. Demons are unlikely to be happy existing for no other purpose than to amuse you, so tell them you're not here to mock them and that you come with respect and want to communicate.
Yeah, then Ruben's screwed.
Whoops. Ask the demon if they need help or have a message. Ask them to show you a sign that they are here so that you can talk to them, perhaps even to help them move on. That's ghosts. Demonic entities are usually only able to give very subtle clues to the fact that they are present. They might use our energy to communicate through a Ouija board, knock over an object, tap on a hard surface, or make a sound in someone's ear. It's unusual to hear a loud noise, a clear voice, or see an object deliberately being moved for any sustained period of time. Ow.
That was a sign.
That was a sign. So we can assume that demons have to muster up a lot of energy in order to give us these signs, or that they're lazy. Therefore, you should thank the demon for their efforts if they do something that you've asked them to do. Give them encouragement. Let them know that what they've shown you is great, but ask them to do a little more if they can. That's just parenting. Be sure not to shut the session down prematurely. One common mistake is to say things like, give us a sign that you're here, and then we'll leave you alone. To be true to your word, if the demon does give you a sign, then you're going to have to pack up and end your investigation. Otherwise, you'll have lied, and the demon is unlikely to trust you again or do as you ask.
So even demons, when they're a demon, have trust issues.
Yeah. At this point, You might want to switch to another method of communication, such as a Ouija board, a spirit box, a digital audio recorder in order to capture EVPs, or any other method you are comfortable using. This might enable you to have more meaningful conversation with the demon. Below is a list of examples, example questions and phrases that you can use to try to encourage the demon to communicate with you. You shouldn't copy these exactly. It is better to be yourself and talk in a natural and open way as you normally would. Some of the examples include, if you can hear me, tap on the floor. Can you make a noise to let us know you are here with us? If you're here, can you show yourself to me? Can you throw something? Can you copy me, then tap on a surface or whistle? My name is Triple X. Can you get fully nasty?
Holy shit. Dude, XXXTentacion is here with us right now.
I was thinking of the Ice Cube / Vin Diesel joint. Can you get fully radical? Tell us who you are. Introduce yourself, please. If there's somebody here with us now, can you walk towards us? If you are are you happy for us to be here? Two taps for yes, one for no. That's knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Twice on the pipes.
If the answer is no. Can you come talk to us? Dude, can you just like come talk to us?
That song used to come on all the time when I worked overnights at CBS.
Boy. Yeah.
So it would be like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I would have my headphone in, listening to my own music, and that song was like such a not even a guilty pleasure. I would take my headphones out and listen to that song over the intercom at work instead of my own music. It's so catchy.
It is, yeah, yep. It's an earworm. Of course, if you establish a dialogue with a demon, then you can ask more in-depth questions. Try to ask questions that no one in the room would know the answers to, so you can rule out fakery or people subconsciously affecting the outcome.
If a chicken and a half can lay an egg and a half in a day and a half, how many days would it take a gorilla with a wooden leg to kick all the seeds out of a dill pickle?
7.
Right.
All right. We are at 67%. Oh, and this is a short section. Ooh, it might be the 2% that we need. It might be the 2% that we need.
We are letting the energy be released into the demonic presence to grant us this ritual,
that is
whatever.
All we need. That is all we need, Mephistopheles. After the ritual, once your session with the demon comes to an end, you should do all you can to ensure the demon is not still present in that location.
Even Carly, get.
I said get.
Get on up out here.
The cat got.
She ran.
The cat did get.
I always knew that Kit Kat was a demon. Even if you think you were unsuccessful, you should still take the precaution, as there is always the chance that you successfully called something forward, but it refused to interact with you. If you were using a Ouija board...
You know what's fucked up? Is that, by jokingly, we've been doing exactly what it's telling us to do.
Right. If you were using a Ouija board, it is advised to close the board by moving the planchette to the word goodbye.
Because we all know that if there's anything about the demonic world, they are sticklers for rules.
Yeah, that's actually true. Almost every culture thinks that demons are evil, but constrained very strictly by rules. Certain rules that are esoteric and weird and vary.
Like literally unable to break them lest they die type thing. Kind of like
the whole
thing
about vampires, if not being able to, they can't.
Or not being able to enter a residence without being invited. Yeah,
but there's also that if you throw like a handful of seeds, the vampire
they have to
has
count
to
it.
Count the seeds.
Thus, the count from Sesame Street.
Once your session with the demon comes, if you're using a Ouija board, it is advised to close the board by moving the planchette to the word goodbye. This will ensure that any demons that have been called forward won't follow you after the session.
Because demons, embodiments of evil and anger and madness, They'll be polite enough to leave you alone after you say goodbye, but like that dude on the subway won't.
No, no, he will not. You just you that's a do not engage. Yeah.
Evangelicals won't.
Oof.
It is a good idea to tell the demon that it must not remain. When ending the session, simply call out to the demon and say something like,
"You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here."
"Thank you for making yourself known to me this evening. You must now return to the realm you came from. I like you mine cannot better. Stay here."
Mine's better.
You can also use the cleansing and protective techniques that we discussed in the previous module to drive the demon away.
So you should have Sage. But you should only use it when you're ready to say fuck off.
Right, right. Exactly. In the next module, we'll look into techniques you can use to exorcise a location, which can also be used after you have summoned a demon.
Damn it.
Sorry, guys.
It's 70%.
70%.
Fuck! God damn it. We didn't believe hard enough.
We didn't believe hard enough.
You don't have to do the summary. So
just... Yeah, no.
It's, summary. It summarizes.
Just rehashing of everything that we just read.
Question
Quiz
one.
Quiz time.
Which of these things will not increase your chances of summoning a demon? Perform the ritual at midnight, remove all distractions, or hold the ritual in low light?
Perform the ritual at midnight. That is not the witching hour we discussed.
Which of these statements is true when encouraging a demon to interact? Make requests, make demands, or command the demon? It's requests.
Oh, the demon's here.
Why should you use a demon's name if possible? It angers it. It gives you power over it. It confuses it.
It gives you power. It
certainly does.
So two of these acts are a requirement after every attempt to contact a demon, or attempted to contact a demon. Because
oh wow!
Holy shit! Well, I gotta say though, 70% of the way through the course, that might be the first actual typo that we've seen.
So, two of these acts are a requirement after every attempt to contact a demon. One isn't always necessary in every instance. Which one is not always necessary? Performing an exorcism, ensuring it returns to where it came from, or thanking it for its participation. I'm going to say exorcism.
Yeah, you don't always have to.
You don't always have to do an exorcism.
I say that every day.
What time of the day is said to be high noon in the demonic day?
That be 3 a.m.
It is indeed 3 a.m.
Which of these things should you never do once you have made contact with a demon? Antagonize it to get a reaction, Ruben. Ask if to show a sign they are here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ask it if they need help or have a message.
Should never do. Antagonize it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another fat typo there.
When reciting incantations, what words or phrases should you use? Words used by accomplished demonologists, like us, words that have meaning to you, or words taken from a religious text. It'd be words that have meaning to you.
What is the correct way to safely end a Ouija board session? Burn it! Everyone removes their fingers at the same time! That could be worded better. Remove the planchette from the board. Move the planchette to goodbye.
That would be the goodbye.
The goodbye.
Everyone who ever had a goth sleepover knows that one. Why should you not use phrases like, "Give us a sign you're here, then we'll leave you alone"? The demon might get angry. A demonic sign could be violent. It could shut the session down.
It's that one.
Yep, it is, because...
Whoops, I got it wrong.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Now you don't have a 100% in demonology.
Whoops. Hold on.
Did you just go all the way back to the beginning of the quiz?
I just went all the way back to the beginning. Give me a second. Bear with me. I'm sorry. Luckily, we can edit this all out.
It's okay, because I've done that twice.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Literally. I'm the only one with a perfect score in demonology?
I just screwed up again.
No, it's because it keeps switching. It randomizes the position. So you can't just go back and like click the ones you know are right like you would do. You have to literally read it all again.
Yeah.
Which you can do pretty quickly, but like you just got to take the time to be sure. We should leave all of this in. They should have like a solid 30 seconds of Don just retaking this quiz.
I could shut this out. Okay. Here we go. Last question. Jesus Christ. Why should you avoid angering or antagonizing a demon? A, to befriend it. B, to ensure cooperation. Or C, it might hurt you.
I do believe it's to ensure cooperation. To ensure cooperation.
And that was correct.
Yay.
You scored 100%. You answered 10 questions correctly. Great work. Your high score is an indication of the knowledge you've gained during this module.
Yeah, we
rock
could,
and roll!
We're at 76%. We could just finish this out.
Could. It's not even 6 o'clock. It's up to...
That's fine by me.
Then, hold on, we'll do it as a separate episode.
All right.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us again in our trip to the dark side.
I mean, go ahead and bang out this last section and the evaluation.
Yeah. Is home to many powers that some find unnatural.
All right. Bye, guys.